Nerds, you're listening to an episode on the Nerdcore podcast feed. If you're feeling generous, please consider pledging to a tier on our Patreon at patreon.com/thenerdcore. We have tiers as low as $1 per month. Thanks so much, and enjoy the episode!
Gamercore podcast, the podcast that talks the A-bit shit. Hello, it is your host, D-Nerdy Chicago here, alongside my other host, Brad, Young Yoda, because Ashley's not here again, and we miss Ashley. Right, Brad?
Yep. Everybody's going to get to hear me in 8-bit today.
Yeah, that's something. But, yeah, you know, it sucks, man. You know, we can't talk with Ashley, but she's not home from work yet. So, hopefully she's on the next one, because that's going to be E3 talk, and we got to talk about E3. We're almost there, guys, but yeah, you know, I'm really, really, really hyped for that. That, you know, that's the biggest conference, man. You know, it's the biggest conference, and stuff's going to go down, bro. Stuff's going to go down. But we did our E3 preview episode. You can listen to that last week. Last week's episode was the E3 episode. And, you know, next week we'll be doing the recap. But in the meantime, Brad, I mean, you know, what's it called? You guys should probably be, you know, you're probably missing Ashley on this show. But don't worry, because she hosts Ladies of Nerdcore. And you can listen to that. Yesterday, you should have been listening to that yesterday, but, you know, if you haven't, go and listen to Ladies of Nerdcore. They talked about Pride Month this week, so that's pretty cool. And, yeah, Brad, let's, you know, you actually played something, didn't you?
I played a little bit of WWE 2K19, so mm-hmm. I just played a few matches with my player. Yeah. That's about all I got.
I'm very interested to know how many AEW rings are already existing in the creative wrestlers. Arenas and stuff.
Probably a shit ton. But I did, on Twitch, I did watch Price play Rage 2. So that was an interesting game to watch.
Yeah, I should probably download that soon. But, yeah, no, he's got Rage 2 and he also has Days Gone. So he's been playing some new stuff, man. But, yeah, Rage 2 was the one that he's been streaming the most, right?
It looks like a pretty fun game. And it's open world and just looks really cool.
Yeah.
Really difficult, though. I feel like I die a lot.
Yeah. Well, let's go ahead and crack this one open here, guys, because we got it's a new month. That means new games are released. Let's go ahead and tell you which games that you're going to be able to play this month of June. So, you guys already should have picked up these next these titles. If you haven't, then you have time to go pick them up. But the titles such as Elder Scrolls Online Elsewhere for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC released 2 days ago. Legends of Heroes Trials of Cold Steel 2 released on the PS4. That was 2 days ago as well. Persona Q2 New Cinema Labyrinth for the 3DS released on the 4th. Tower Saves the Universe for the PC released on the 4th as well. And on June 7th, you can go and pick up Octopath Traveler for the PC. You can get Doraemon Nobita's Story of Seasons for the Switch on the 12th. Blaster Master Zero for the PC on the 14th. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night PS4, Xbox One, PC on the 18th. Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled for on the 21st for the PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Heavy Rain for the PC on the 24th. Bloodstained Ritual of the Night for the Switch on the 25th. Judgment for the PS4 on the 25th. The Sinking City for PS4, Xbox One, PC on the 27th. F1 2019, I'm guessing that's Formula One 2019. PS4, Xbox One, PC on the 28th. Super Mario Maker 2 on the Switch on the 28th, I'm sorry. Cadence of Hyrule for the Switch on, we don't know when in June, and then Samurai Showdown for the PS4, Xbox One, and PC. Date is unknown, but it is in June. But, yeah, I know which ones you guys are going to be, you know, excited for. It's Super Mario Maker 2, of course. So, keep those eyes out for those games. They're coming out this month on June, and we hope you guys enjoy them. As always, remember, next week we'll let you guys know what's coming out during the week. So, that way, in case you forgot about the stuff, we're here for you. Today's discussion will be about the Pokemon Direct from Pokemon Sword and Shield. So, you know, you're going to have to plow through some news at first to get to that, unless you want to skip all the way to the end, which is fine. But we got some news here today, and it is quite some news. So, contrary to what I really wanted, because it's been a while since Rocksteady has put out a game, they will not be at E3, man. So this is what GameSpot.com reported. Batman Arkham developer Rocksteady confirms its new game won't be at E3 2019. Sorry, maybe next E3, from Eddie McCooch over at GameSpot.com. E3 2019 is expected to include a lot of big announcements. One of the announcements, Watch Dogs Legion, has leaked and been subsequently confirmed, but among the things you can count on, not seen at the big expo, is the next game from Batman Arkham studio, Rocksteady Games. Game director and co-founder Saffron Hill wrote on Twitter that the studio won't be showing at E3 this year. We will be watching as fans, but remaining in London, hard at work on our next big project, he said, at Saffron Hill on Twitter. It's because tradition for Hill to release these kinds of statements, tempering fans' excitement and expectations. It's become tradition for Hill to release these kinds of statements, tempering fans' excitement and expectation for Rocksteady's new game. In December 2018, Hill confirmed there would be no reveal at the Game Awards, while a month prior, he responded to fan feedback over Rocksteady's E3 2018 no-show. Rocksteady is clearly still not ready to show off its new game. There are a number of rumors floating around about what it will be, as well as the idea that it's coming for next-gen hardware, but nothing is confirmed at this stage. Rocksteady created the Batman Arkham series, the latest installment of which, Arkham Knight, was released in 2015. So, it's been four years, Brad. 4 years since they released the game.
That's a pretty long time. So, yeah. Hopefully they're making something great.
I understand them missing out if they have nothing to show. That's fine. You know, you don't have to go, you know. And it's not like you're, you know, what's it called? Another studio which has to have some games in development that they're showing that they can show, but just won't want to go. And I really hope that, you know, whatever they're working on, they're putting in the amount of time, which it looks like they are. And I don't find a problem that they're not going to E3.
Hey, man, PlayStation didn't show up.
I know. That's what I was referring to. You know they have a game, yeah. It's quite the thing, because a lot of people have been predicting that, oh, they're going to show the Superman game. We don't even know what this game is that they're developing. And, you know, it's fine. It's fine that we don't know. I think that fans sometimes want too much from something that's just not there.
Have they ever made a good Superman game? I really don't think they have. Like, ever.
I don't know. I know they made a good Hulk game.
Yeah. I don't think there's ever been a good Superman game. I know, I think Superman on the N64, that game was trash.
Yeah. You know, it happens, man. It definitely happens. But, you know, that's one studio that won't be going, along with, you know, Sony. But it's quite the thing for this to happen, because, you know, like I said, a lot of people were predicting, you know, a lot of people really wanted Rocksteady there. But guys, if they have no game to show, then what's the point of having them there? You know, just give them time and they will come back with something, you know. And you know, I feel like this studio has, you know, at least won our patience, because they put out three really good games, right?
Yeah. So, our patience will be rewarded, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, Batman Arkham City is probably one of my top 10 video games of all time as well. And, let's just be patient, guys, and we'll see what Rocksteady is up to. But if you're expecting them at E3, sorry, it's not going to happen. You know, Sony might not be coming to E3, Brad, but we do have details about the PS5 now. Excuse me. Do not want to burp in the mic, especially because I got taco breath right now. So, GameSpot.com's own Eddie McCooch has the details here on this report. PS5 more cross-gen backwards compatibility details and 120Hz support revealed. While Sony is not attending E3 2019 next week, the PlayStation company still has news to share specifically about its much-anticipated new next-generation console. Sony's Jim Ryan, who recently stepped into the position of SIE, Sony Interactive Entertainment President, sat down with GameSpot's sister site CNET to discuss some of Sony's high-level plans for next console, believed to be the PlayStation 5. One of the biggest talking points was what Ryan called cross-generation play. This means those who pick up a PlayStation 5 or whatever it is called will be able to continue playing their PlayStation 4 games on the new box. Not only that, but Ryan suggested that PlayStation Friends List will span both systems. Whether it's backwards compatibility or the possibility of cross-generational play, we'll be able to transition that community to next-gen, he said. It won't be a binary choice about whether you have to be either on PlayStation 4 or next-gen to continue your friendship. This is a big deal because PS4 does not currently offer backwards compatibility like the rightful Xbox One does. Ryan said in a previous interview that backwards compatibility and cross-gen play is incredibly important to helping make the transition between systems as seamless as possible. Also in an interview, Ryan confirmed that the PS5's new SSD that was custom made for the system will be part of the standard edition, not a more expensive premium version. The SSD allows PS5 to improve load times. You can see a demonstration of the faster load times on a video that they have here. And Ryan also talked about the PS5 is capable of supporting 4K visuals at 120Hz for those who have TVs that support that. 120Hz is a refresh rate around double the standard of TVs. Brad, you can't be tweeting at me or mentioning me in tweets while I'm trying to read a goddamn article, Brad. As for why Sony is talking about the PS5, Mark Kearney shared numerous details earlier before actually announcing the console. Ryan said it's an effort to get ahead of leaks. PS5 developmental kits are being sent to outside studios currently, and Ryan said he wants PlayStation fans to have clear and unambiguous details about the system instead of gambled nonsense. That's good on their corner, man. You know, be ahead of the leaks. I wish that Ubisoft was that fast.
Yeah, and man, these fuckers gonna make me buy another TV too.
Dude, they're gonna make me buy another TV, man. That's the thing that sucks. I don't have 4K TV, man.
I just bought a fucking TV, goddammit.
You should have waited, Brad. You should have waited. You know you were gonna have to get a PS5 eventually.
I probably wouldn't be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, but you want to be able to play your video games, right?
I guess.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, it's funny, man. I'm really, really happy that they're doing this and they're really giving the details. And I don't need this soon. I really still love my PS4. You know, it's my desired console, and I'm glad that we're gonna have cross compatibility. You know, it's gonna make the transition, like he says, seamless, and it's gonna be easier to be able to transition to the next console.
Well, that's good. So I mean, it sounds like PlayStation's getting ready to roll this out, and they're gonna have a bunch of companies with games for it. So I think that's always been kind of the struggle, is usually on release of a new system, there's no games that, like, I'm interested in, usually on release day. So maybe they'll change that this time around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Hopefully we have some good, what's it called, release date titles. But, you know, we do have games like Elder Scrolls 6 and, you know, I can't remember the other Bethesda game that, you know, those games are going to be coming for the PS5 and Xbox, whatever. So it's going to be pretty cool to see those games in there. But I really do hope they release better, you know, launch day titles for the PS5, because the PS4's launch day titles, they kind of sucked.
Yes, I agree. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, Brad, are you going to say something? Or are you just going to let me pause you? You're like, awkwardly.
Well, usually I don't agree with you, so it's easy to come up with something. But on that account, I did agree with you. So I was like,
Kind of sucked, man. Look, we've got This is news for Ashley, but, you know, she was supposed to cover this, but, you know, she's not here. But from GameSpot.com, Steve Watts is reporting that the Shenmue release date has been delayed. Forklift physics take time. let me just go down to what's it called? Partially crowdfunded sequel, right, Shenmue. Right.
Can I just say that's a good subtitle? I like that.
Yeah. The partially crowdfunded sequel, Shenmue 3, needs more time in development, has been delayed. The game had been slated for release on August 27th, but has now been pushed back to a fall release of November 19th. In a letter on the game's Kickstarter page, creator Yo Suzuki explained the delay. Whilst almost ready, the game simply needs a little more refinement before being truly finished, it states. We feel that the extra time we have will help us deliver the true Shenmue experience players around the world deserve. We thank you for your patience and understanding. It debuted at E3 2015, and you know it made a record-breaking 6.3 million from 70,000 backers. It kept the crowdfunding going with a Slacker backer campaign, which added roughly another million. In 2017, Deep Silver announced it would publish the game. At that point, it was scheduled for the second half of 2018. The sequel to Shenmue has been a long time coming. Shenmue 2 was released in 2001, and being aware of the development through the crowdfunding campaign has made the length of this sequel's development stand out. It has gone through multiple delays, and Suzuki has let fans in on the process and promised changes based on feedback. Look, man, let him take his time. By the way that Ashley describes this, she's going to be well into her 40s when this game comes out.
It's like Final Fantasy VII for me.
Yeah.
But I think Ashley would say, you know, let them take as much time as they need to make a great game.
Exactly. And I think that that's the way I felt about Death Stranding. That's the way I feel about Final Fantasy VII, even though we do make jokes, right? You know, let them take their time.
Yeah, I want a great game. I'm always going to make a joke about Square Enix because they delay.
So. Yeah, they're so notorious about that.
It's like an alley-oop kind of joke. But it always goes in.
Yeah, like Last of Us 2 as well. You know, let them take their time. You know, how much time it takes is fine by me. I'd rather have a really good game in 10 years than a crappy game tomorrow.
Eat.
You know, you could say something, man.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah, but you know, that's the whole point of this. You know, you're supposed to interject with thoughts, man, and not leave me for...
I didn't interject with my thoughts. I can't help your internet shit. How do you know I said something? How do you know? You don't know.
Shut up, Brad. Whatever. Look, last week, I you know, something came up that... Well, not last week. Well, yeah, it was last week. They had the premiere of the new game for Call of Duty game. Sadly, we recorded a day earlier when this came out, so guess who wasn't able to talk about the Modern Warfare game coming out? This podcast. So we're here a little bit late, but it's fine because... it's okay, because we're going to be able to talk about it. There's a lot about this going on, man. I do want to point one thing out. It is called Call of Duty Modern Warfare. It is not a reboot.
Sorry.
It's not a reboot. It is not a sequel. It is just a new story. But for people who are confused, yes, there was a game called that already. It was called Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. It's not a reboot or anything, so they cleared that up. Okay? Yeah. Let's go get in.
They're gonna come up with a better name.
Yeah, I know.
Let's be honest. They're gonna come up with a better fucking name.
Okay. Well, Brad, look. Let's go get and get some details out of here, Brad. 2019's Call of Duty Modern Warfare is a reimagining of the first game and brings it with some stark changes. Chief among them on the multiplayer front is the addition of crossplay, allowing play across PS4, Xbox One, and PC, and the absence of a season pass that locks new DLC maps to only a portion of the player base. We've also learned that zombies, typically a fixture of the Treyarch development entries in the series, won't be included in Modern Warfare. Right, let's go ahead and give a round of applause for that, Brad. No season pass. Finally, I don't have to pay $60 for the rest of the game.
Woo! You get the whole game.
So, yeah, we'll actually get the whole game, and the maps will be released to us to download. And that's cool. Infinity Ward games do not need zombies. I don't know why Advanced Warfare tried that out. It kind of sucked, not gonna lie. And that's a Treyarch thing. That should stay with Treyarch. You know, let them mess that up all they want. Crossplay, Brad. That's really cool. Because now we'll get to play with friends like Shane. Well, not Shane. I'm sorry. Nikki plays on Xbox. So if she gets Modern Warfare, we can play with Nikki. But, you know, we can always play with Shane. He plays on PS4, I think. Or, you know, we can play with a friend who's on PC. I think that's really cool. And I think that's something that Call of Duty should have had in the last two titles.
I can't wait for all those 12-year-olds on Xbox to cuss me out.
Yeah, can't wait for that, Brad. And they're going to call me racial slurs. Yeah.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the joys of video games.
Infinity War revealed details about Call of Duty Modern Warfare single-player campaign to journalists last week at its studio in California. During a lengthy presentation, developers explained that this isn't a continuation of the Modern Warfare trilogy, because in that world, there wasn't much room to raise the stakes. Russia invaded the U.S., nuclear weapons exploded, and the series' major characters had fought through it all, with some even dying along the way. Spoiler alert, guys. I'm sorry. Instead, Infinity War wanted to revisit some of the Modern Warfare's concepts without being beholden to the world the original trilogy created. There are some returning elements, though. Captain Price is again a principal character in the new story. For instance, it seems as though this game will also concern Russian interactions. Enemies will include an ultra-nationalist group helping to execute terrorist attacks in major cities such as London. Apart from broad strokes, though, we don't know more about the story. Studio narrative director Taylor Kurosaki and single-player director Jacob Minkoff, who both came to Infinity War from the narrative-focused developer Naughty Dog, said they mean for this Modern Warfare to be more gritty and mature and more relevant to today's world. You know, we have a nice little screenshot here. You know, they keep talking about how the world is kind of complex and they want to put that into the game. And, you know, look, I've always been a big fan of the campaigns, you know, the first Modern Warfare campaigns. You know, they kind of started slacking on it. So I really hope that they kind of make a better campaign for this game. From what, you know, I also heard they're bringing back the original composer from the Modern Warfare games. So that's pretty cool. And look, it's hard for, like, Alex already, you know, Alex Almeida, you know, she already said she's getting this because she loves COD. This, I'm really surprised at how they, you know, with Black Ops 4, I was like, meh. You know, I was like, eh. And with this one, I'm honestly kind of into this. And I really do want to play this because, first of all, it's no futuristic crap. It's going to be good old Modern Warfare. No jumping or what? I mean, no jump packs or stuff. I don't know, whatever they're called. It's going to be boots to the ground. And, you know, it's not going to have a season pass. And I'm going to get to play with people who play on Xbox One and PC. So that's pretty cool.
And we'll probably get to play on Rage Quit.
Oh, 100%.
Definitely.
Oh, 100%.
This is one of them.
100%.
This one is where I just curse you out and everybody else in the world.
Yeah. So, of course, this game will be coming out in October. But, you know, I'm really, really excited for this, man. And I think that, you know, October 25th can't come any sooner. I do want to see what this is all about. And we just have to wait for the gameplay reveal now. Because we have the cinematic trailer, you know, the story trailer. But, you know, that doesn't give me any insights into the gameplay. But, yeah, I can't believe I'm saying this, but COD has my attention now.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a while, man. It's been a while.
I mean these screenshots look glorious. They're amazing.
Mm-hmm. So, Brad, any thoughts? You know, is this something you might be into if I get it?
Yep. I think I'll be picking this up. I played Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. Enjoyed it back in the day, so yeah, this one, I'll probably be shit, but mostly shit at any kind of video game.
First person shooter, honestly.
But yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, so you know, it should be better than our play at Fortnite, I hope.
Well, we did get to second place one time.
Yeah, by hiding.
Hey, a win is a win, okay?
We didn't win, though.
I was looking for some sales today, but there has not been any other sales. But the sales that are going on for PlayStation, for I'm sorry, for Xbox One, because of E3. So Xbox players, you got some stuff to look forward to. First of all, there's an Xbox One Fortnite Battle Royale Special Edition bundle that comes in purple. So that's going to be available the 7th. So that should be available tomorrow, because this comes out on Friday. Today's the 5th. Tomorrow's the 6th.
I do like that color. That's a nice color.
That is a really nice color. I really like that color.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and look what's on here, Brad. And I'm going to look at the thing here.
God.
Yeah. What? Is Sea of Thieves in there?
Yes.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, let me go ahead and read through this. So it's going to go big at E3 2019, whatever, yada, yada, yada. Look, so the console is going to be on June 7th. It's going to be 1 terabyte, of course. And it comes with a new gradient purple console, a matching controller, 2,000 V-Bucks, and a dark Vertex Fortnite cosmetic set that comes with a legendary outfit, epic glider, and rare pickaxe. Available only in Battle Royale and creative modes. Oh, excuse me, I do not want to burp into the mic. Take a shot. You'll also get 1 month free of Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass. The complete bundle will sell for $300, and during the sale, you can get it for $50 cheaper. In terms of other hardware, you'll also be able to save $100 on brand new Xbox One X and get $50 off other Xbox One S bundles. And the Xbox One S All Digital Edition, if you're in need of new controllers, you'll be able to save $10 on Black, White, Special Edition, and Limited Edition Xbox Wireless Controllers. PC hardware will also be marked down with up to $500 off a new gaming PC or laptop from Microsoft's partners like Asus, Razer, and MSI. All right. Expect to see some great games marked down. While the full list of games hasn't been revealed, we know that there will be discounts up to 75% on new Xbox One games like Mortal Kombat 11, Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice, and Tom Clancy's The Division 2. Other confirmed deals will include Forza Horizon 4, World War Z, Sea of Thieves, Brad's favorite game, NBA 2K19, Anthem, and Call of Duty Black Ops 4 Spectre Rising Edition. Some games will start as low as $20. In addition, some PC games will be on sale, including Forza Motorsport 7 Ultimate, Gears of War 4, and Deep Rock Galactic. Brad, how much do you think Sea of Thieves will be on sale for?
$39.
They're not bringing that down.
It never fucking goes under that price.
We're lucky to see it at 20, right?
It's lucky to see that 20, man. Like they don't put that game on sale.
Yeah.
It's an optical illusion if it says so. You get hit hard on the taxes and it'll still be back $39.
Yeah, dude. It's something else, man. And yeah, that's the only sale, and even then, that's not a sale. It's telling you what's coming soon, so I'm sorry, guys. But, look, it's weird. When Brad and I are doing the episode, it's short, and it has been a slow news week. But, you know, today was the Pokemon Direct, and I kind of want to talk about that. But, Brad, looks like we're going to be finishing under an hour today. So, I guess that's what happens when it's a slow news day?
Well, it's a slow news day. I mean, usually we have, what, 1, 2, 3, 4 news articles? We usually have close to 8 to 10
on
other episodes.
To be fair, it's also pre-E3. It's supposed to be a slow news week. This is probably how it's going to look.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good
point. Like, I expect this is how it's going to look for, you know, before San Diego Comic-Con. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it happens. So, slow news
week. If I remember from last year, it was like that with Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like right before, like, we have very little shit to talk about.
Yeah. Or, you know, before Star Wars Celebration, there was literally nothing going on. You know, we have barely any news. So I'm guessing because these conventions are coming up, there's going to be a lot to talk about. So talking about Star Wars Celebration, I mean, we're going to get to hear about next week, Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. But look, Pokemon Sword and Shield had their Nintendo Direct this today on Wednesday when we're recording this. And I need to talk about this because it's going to be a lot of things. So, you know, it's a... Yeah. I want to start with the one thing I didn't like about this. And I'm going to be honest here. You know, this was something that would have convinced me to get the Switch. And I don't know if I'm kind of clamoring to get a Switch now because, I mean, this game looks okay. I don't like the whole Baymax. I think that's how you call it, Baymax. I don't know what was the name of it, but, you know, basically you have giant versions of Pokemon and you can fight against each other with big-ass Pokemons, or you can do raids with other people, like in Pokemon Go. And that kind of sucks.
That sounds kind of cool, the raids. The raids sound kind of cool.
Raids sound fine, Brad. I don't know if I'm into the whole Baymax thing. Daymax. I don't remember the name of it. But look, you know you know your Pokemon here. So this is Generation 8. First is Grass type Grossifleur, whose Pollen has healing properties. Grossifleur is able to evolve into Eldegoss, the Cotton Bloom Pokemon. We also get a look at Wooloo, an adorable sheep Pokemon covered in fluffy wool, as well as the vicious snapping turtle-like Dreadnought. Finally, the Pokemon Company revealed Corviknight, the Raven Pokemon. Interestingly, Corviknight will be able to talk to taxi players back to any town they have previously visited, much like Fly HM of old. That's Corviknight looks pretty cool. That looks like a sweet bird. Those aren't the only new Pokemon we gotta look at. The Pokemon Company also unveiled Sword and Shield's legendary Pokemon, the wolf-like Zamazenta and Zacian. Damn, I butchered those bad. A few details about the legendaries were revealed, but the former is covered in armor that resembles a shield, while the latter wields a sword in its maw. In the reveal trailer, the legendaries could be briefly seen fighting each other before a sound catches their attention. I'm sorry. It wasn't Baymax. It was Dynamaxing. By the way, Baymax, I believe that's the one from Big Hero 6, right, Brad?
Yeah. Baymax.
Yeah, so as speculated, the games are introducing a new battle mechanic called Dynamaxing. Like Mega Evolution and Z moves before it, Dynamax is triggered via its own button and can only be used once per battle. This causes your Pokemon to grow into a massive size, giving them a power boost and turning their attacks into max moves. However, Dynamax Pokemon will only remain in that state for 3 turns. Players will be able to team up with others to battle wild Dynamax Pokemon in Pokemon Go-like raids while exploring the wild area. An open-world-like environment between cities and Galar, Pokemon Sword and Shield launched for Nintendo Switch on November 15th. You can learn more in our Pokemon Sword and Shield pre-order guide. Okay. Yeah. So I watched the Direct, man. You know, nothing too great. I kind of don't like the idea of the Dynamax, but I'm not going to lie, Brad. What's it called? The raids in Pokemon Go are fun when you have friends to play with. Mm-hmm. But, look. The designs look fine. I guess my gripes here are the whole Dynamax thing, because I wasn't a big fan of the Z moves or the ones from the last games, those things that they added on. I'm sorry to sound like an old man, but you know, my Pokemon will always just be Pokemons fighting against each other, not having this crazy stuff. And I know that
I do think that Dynamax throws a new twist into it. Mm-hmm. Because you can be winning, and then they can throw in the whole giant Pokemon 3 moves. Then you may be fucked. So it is a new twist. I mean, I think they had to come up with something new, or they thought they did. Yeah. I'm not too sure about it. I mean, if I play it, then I guess we'll see. But, you know, I'll give it a go. I mean, I'm not too concerned about it. I just figure it's a kind of new twist to the game and the fighting style.
Yeah. Can you Dynamax a Magikarp?
I think that we kind of used this, like, it'd just be a giant splash, splash, splash. And then you go kick and turn to a Gyarados.
Yeah. Look, I like the designs and everything, and I actually do like how the legendaries look. My only gripe is just the Dynamax. I don't know if I'm really down with that, but I do need to see more for a minute. And, also, chances are that I don't need to use the Dynamax, so it's just going to be there, and I'm probably not going to use it. So, I still want to Switch because I want to get Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, the Black Order. But, yeah, look, Pokemon's Pokemon, man, and I'm excited to get this because, you know, I love Pokemon. So what can I do? November 15th, I will probably have a Switch by then, hopefully. Brad, will you have your Switch back by November 15th?
I might have to arm wrestle for it, but I think so.
Poor Brad, man. Like, I don't know what they did to you to take away your Switch. You know, like...
She beats me, man. She beats me.
Yeah, man. You know, what if she... What if Brad, this is the funny thing. What your anniversary is on the 27th, Brad.
Yeah.
What if she gives you your Switch back and says, hey, I got you a Nintendo Switch.
You know, I mean, at least it's something.
At least I have it back, right?
That's where most guys get, probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, either way, this has been a fun time, and you know, I really do want to hear your thoughts on the Pokemon Sun and Moon. I'm sorry, Sword and Shield. I'm probably gonna get Sword because I'm not gonna lie, that legendary with the sword in his mouth reminds me of this picture of a cat with a knife in his mouth, and it's the same energy, man. And that's kind of the stuff I want to be fucking with, man. So, you expect me to get Sword, and I'm really excited because, you know, either way. The things that they do wrong in these games, the things that they do right, it's always Pokemon, and Pokemon's always been fun. Fuck, even Pokemon Go's fun. So, you know, however this goes, it's still going to be another win for the Pokemon Company. So, you know, what else can we do here?
I mean, looks like a good game. I'm excited. I haven't picked up a Pokemon game in a while, but I'll be picking this one up for Switch.
If you got yours back. But, yeah. This has been a fun time, my friend. And, you know, we should probably do the housekeeping, right?
So, yeah. Let's go.
All right. Tomorrow, in the next 2 days on the Nerdcore podcast feed, you can listen to our review of Sin City for Robert Rodriguez Movie Month. I'm sorry we had to push that back a lot, but who knew these goddamn graduations were so long, man? And on Sunday, on the feed, you can listen to our review of Good Time in preparation for Robert Pattinson's casting as the Batman in Matt Reeves' Batman trilogy. And, you know, that's it. You know, you should probably listen to for Ladies of Nerdcore. That was, you know, the day before. But, you know, catch up on that. And also listen to the Impaired Files. It premieres on the same day that this episode drops. This week, I talked with Alex in a different attempt at this show, which I kind of have some news about, and I will talk to you guys about that at the end of this episode. Well, at the end of the week on the Sunday episode for the Nerdcore. But, yeah, we talked about sexuality in movies and, you know, the idea of watching a sex scene on the big screen. And, you know, why people choose to see it differently than others. You know, it's we talked about the whole taboo subject of sex in movies. So that was really fun with Alex, and I hope that you guys... enjoy that episode. As always, you know, those come out every 2 weeks, and Patreon supporters get that one a week early. But Patreon supporters can get this episode right here for a day early because you're a $1 tier above. But you can also become a executive producer of the podcast like our good friend Warlord Hitman 98 on Twitter, Grayson Barker 98 on Instagram. Grayson, he's the OG. Oh, excuse me, do not want to burp into the mic. Take another shot. Shane, at XSRRKK Twitch on Twitter and twitch.tv/XSRK for the games. And then our good old third executive producer, Journey, at IcedMocha_Jorn, JOURN on Twitter. Make sure you follow the Nerdcore on Twitter to be, you know, relevant with all the things that are going on in the Nerdcore. And it's mostly just Brad being an idiot on that thing. At the Nerdcore _.
Hey.
Instagram at the Nerdcore so you can see all the beautiful edits that Brad makes. And on the Facebook page, go to the Nerdcore Pods. I mean, if you care enough. I'm still getting notifications that you guys are liking that page. Honestly, we don't use that page because YouTube kind of sucks. But if you do... I'm sorry, not YouTube. Well, YouTube does suck. But for different reasons. Facebook sucks for a lot of reasons. But if you do want to communicate with us through Facebook, the best way to do that is by going to www.facebook.com/groups/thenerdcore and joining the Nerdverse, the official Nerdcore group. We talk a lot of things on there. And, you know, it's always fun. And a lot of memes, a lot of discussions, and just a good time, as always. You can follow me on The Nerdy Chicano on Twitter and Instagram. Please don't add me on Facebook. I'm not going to answer your requests. Brad, where can I find you?
RandomGerm101 everywhere.
And for our other host who isn't here, you can follow her on Instagram at Callie's Worst Dancer and on Twitter at XArtemisX with a 3 instead of an E. And yeah, it's been the GamerCore, Brad. It's weird for this episode to be below an hour, but you know, I guess just a slow news week. So thank you guys for listening. And make sure you leave a rating review on your podcast app of choice because it really helps the feed grow. And it also shows us that you guys are enjoying these episodes. Brad, you know what to do, bro. Send them into the podcast void.
All right, Earl. You're being host as always. Ashley, we miss you. Thank you to all our listeners out there, all our Patreon supporters. We truly appreciate you. And I guess in the next episode, we'll hopefully have more news to talk about. We should. E3. Young goat out.